Hello, this is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for the classic rock band Iron Butterfly. And I'm hanging out rocking with Seattle Wave Radio.
Welcome to Northwest Prime, bringing Seattle to the world and the world to Seattle. I'm your host, Lori Ness, a soldier on the front line of the mainstream. You can listen to this and other shows at northwestprime.com, and be sure to stay with Seattle Wave Radio 24/7, 365 for more great music and interviews. We're starting a movement of kindness, and we want you to join us. Let's get this show started. Bob Nelson became a household name recently when his first film screenplay, Nebraska, was nominated for many awards, including an Academy Award. Bob has had a few months to process this experience, which in its own right would make a great screenplay. And we're going to bring Bob on in just a little bit and discuss all of this. Bob lives on a little island off the coast of Seattle called Whidbey Island, one of my favorite spots, really, on the planet. And we want to talk to him about that. There's so much artistic and creative energy that goes on Whidbey Island. We're going to be playing music by one of their musicians out there, a little girl called Sophia Duccini. Not so little. I think she's 17 now, but really growing up and making some great music. One of our favorite authors that we love to bring on and talk, Daisy Prescott, writes about experiences that her characters have on Whidbey Island. So, and my favorite coffee comes from Mukilteo Coffee, Happy Hippie Coffee, out on Whidbey Island. So if you're in the Seattle area at all and you really want to experience a very magical place, you'll want to take the ferry. It's not a very long ride, 30 minutes over to Whidbey Island, and just a magical, magical little place. I'm going to play a song from Sophia Duccini for you, and we're going to get Bob on the line. This is called by Sophia Duccini. We're going to play River Soul. We'll be right back.
River Soul, I can feel you right through my bones. Heart of gold, oh how it simmers low. Night like coal, bring me back to my lover's hole. Never show the wind I fear. Vulnerable, my river soul. Vulnerable, my river soul. Vulnerable.
That was Sophia Dutini, and you can catch her in her day job down at Mocotillo Coffee on Whidbey Island. They have the greatest, greatest coffee, and they have, there's so many great things about Whidbey Island, but right now, the really focus on Whidbey Island is our guest today, and that's Bob Nelson. So thank you, Bob, for coming on.
Well, thank you, Lori, for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, you've really had a few months to process this experience. What are your best kind of takeaway on everything that's happened to you recently?
Well, it was a whirlwind, and it was much more intense than I thought. They really put you through the ringer with Q&As and panels. But in a way, some of that turned out to be the best. My biggest takeaway was meeting fellow writers and other people in the industry and just getting a chance to talk with them, and some of the best events were actually the non-awards events. There was an Academy luncheon, and we also had a dinner with the nominated writers, and in that atmosphere, it's very relaxed, and you just have a chance to talk and share your experiences, and those were my favorite times.
Well, let's back up a little bit now so that we can kind of bring everyone up to speed. This, you wrote this like 10 years ago, though, and then it just kind of hung around out there for 10 years?
I wrote it in, 2002, actually. It was optioned in 2003, and Alexander Payne, the director, became attached that same year. So from then on, it was just a matter of waiting for when Alexander wanted to shoot it, and he didn't want to make it his next movie. He was just about to shoot Sideways at that time. And he said it won't be the movie after Sideways, and none of us knew, and he didn't know it would be seven more years before he shot his next movie, which was The Descendants. So he kept to his word. It just took 10 years. We were the movie after that. So it wasn't a case of a lot of times your movie will go through development or financing will fall through it or go from one studio to another. It was just a matter of waiting for the right time for Alexander to shoot it, and it turned out to be a great time. We had the perfect actors for it, and they probably wouldn't have worked as well 10 years ago. So you never know. Sometimes you just have to be patient and wait for it to happen.
Absolutely. It doesn't seem like that at the time, but, you know, so many things in our life, when we look back in retrospect, it all makes perfect sense. I really enjoyed the movie Nebraska.
Okay.
And it's shot in black and white, and mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, you're thinking, well, what's this going to be like? What, you know, how is this going to look? Is it still going to capture my attention? But I don't know that it would have even worked in color. I mean, it was so perfect to shoot it in black and white. Did you have any reservations about that?
Well, that was all Alexander's decision, and he told us that in 2003. That was in his intention. And I loved the idea. My favorite movies are in black and white. So that was all great, but there was a worry about that it would take away from the box office a little bit, and it probably did have a little bit of an effect, but I think in the long run over the years, I think it will wear well because of that, and hopefully have a long legacy out there.
Well, I hope it does, because what this movie kind of hit on for me is, We all kind of remember, if you're of a certain age, like I am, that family road trips were part of our upbringing, that many of us came from maybe original families that lived in the Midwest, mine in the South, and back in the time I was growing up, families didn't my family didn't have the money to visit family by plane. We didn't board a plane. We would take these long family road trips to Tennessee, and we would stop at other family members' houses along the way. So we lived in California. We'd stop in Texas and spend the night. We'd stop in Arkansas and spend the night, and then we would end up in Tennessee for a time, then we work our way back around the country. And really, a lot of our family memories were built on those road trips. And that was a really special time. And you had those memories, which kind of bore out this screenplay.
Well, yeah, and one of the biggest memories of childhood, which a lot of Nebraska is based on from there were seven family members. There were five siblings, and all seven of us got in a station wagon and drove from Seattle across to Minnesota and down into Nebraska and back. And that's when I ended up spending quite a bit of time in Nebraska that summer, and staying out on the farm and staying also in the small towns that our relatives had retreated to after the farming dried up. And so that really played a big part in writing this. I don't know that I would have had the same experiences if we'd had the money or the way to just fly back there and see people. We met quite a few relatives on the way as well, so it all had some sort of impact on my writing. So I do appreciate the fact now that we were able to have that experience.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that another part that was really I caught on to with this movie is I really feel like every adult child should almost have a road trip with their mm-hmm. parents. Because you really learn a lot about your parent when they're in a car, and the character in this movie, he really all these layers about his parents started unfolding when he was really trapped in this car, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and it really brought them closer together. And I found that when I've gone on road trips with my parents, they kind of seem like what Woody was going through. In the beginning, it kind of is almost a hassle, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, and then it develops into something really beautiful along the way.
Yeah, and I also think it'd be nice if more children as they get older take a visit to wherever their parents grew up and have them give them a little tour and just try to picture them younger and like yourself. A lot of us seem to think that our parents were born the same day we were and didn't have any past lives and weren't crazy young kids doing crazy things. I think it'd be a nice little trip for anybody to just go back to the hometown and take a look around and hear the stories, because otherwise they don't usually come out. If you're right there, they'll be reminded themselves and tell you something about themselves you never knew. So, it's a very special opportunity to be able to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. There were so many parts of this screenplay, this movie, Nebraska, that just really hit home with me personally. And I don't think I'm unlike so many other people, because it did really hit with a lot of people. This movie had a lot of appeal. A lot of people just came away really loving it. The uncles, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, the World War II uncles all sitting around visiting, and their idea of visiting was really not even talking, but just really watching the TV. I had uncles just like that. There were like five brothers, and they were all in the World War II, and when they would get together, it was a happy event, but I don't remember much talking, and that sparked a memory for me personally.
Well, that is those were my uncles too, exactly. They'd get together after not seeing each other for sometimes years, and they would sit there and they would really enjoy being together and the experience. But if they didn't have something to say, they would just sit there and enjoy the experience. Sometimes they weren't even watching television like they are in the movie. They would just be sitting sitting around in a circle, and it'd get pretty quiet, and then somebody would mention an old car and whatever happened to it. I love those guys. I grew up at, you could get them to talk if you asked them questions, and they would tell you. But it's something I didn't really expect, like you're saying, that so many people would relate to that. But it's always great to hear. I've had people from Brooklyn say, I know it's set in Nebraska, but that's exactly like my family in Brooklyn. So you never know.
Exactly. Well, it really touched a chord, and when you touch that special place in people's soul, you get magic, and that's what you were able to do with that, and it was.
Oh, great!
I really enjoyed it. And your mom got a cameo in the movie and was able to go to some awards with you as well. So it was a family experience.
Yeah. No, it was it was great. I set the movie, in the area of Nebraska she grew up, and it doesn't always work this way, but they actually ended up shooting in northeast Nebraska, and she went along with me. She has a sister in Norfolk, Nebraska, where they set up the production, and she stayed with her sister, and she'd get up in the morning and go to her job on the set, and she's woman number one walking to the buffet bar. So she's got a pretty big role there. And she came down when it premiered at the Chinese Theater in L.A., and she also came to the Academy Awards. So,
how wonderful.
Yeah, so it was the whole thing was quite an experience for both of us to share.
Well, it's funny. I've heard Oprah say one time the best gift you could give people are experiences, and I've always really believed that. And what a great experience that came out of all of this that you were able to share with your mom.
Oh, yeah. She's giddy. She's been featured on Seattle television news programs, and she's been interviewed, and she's had a great time through it all.
That's great. Now, your roots were in comedy, and we knew about Almost Live here in the Seattle area, but, obviously Nebraska is a drama. Do you stay in drama now, or are you thinking about going back into comedy or a little of dramedies, or where do you go from here?
Well, so far, yeah, I've pretty much been doing what you'd call dramedies, for lack of a better word. All of the stuff I've written so far has some humor in it. I have written a TV pilot that's probably more comedy than drama, but even that has a little bit of drama in it as well. So it's just kind of the area I feel comfortable in. I grew up really admiring Billy Wilder and Hal Ashby and, later Alexander Payne in his early movies before I even met him. And I also liked Horton Foote, who was more drama, but the other guys really combined drama and comedy, and I always liked that, even though it wasn't a dominant form of cinema. Usually you're either going for drama or comedy, but I always liked those ones that intermingled because it seemed like real life, where every day there's something funny and something sad, and it's the bittersweet experience of life, and that's what I'm always hoping to aim for.
And that capture of the resilience in the human spirit, and like you said, the good times and bad times, and rough times and happy times, and my grandfather used to say, life is great as long as you don't get weak. And I always remember that because nobody really ever promised you, a fun time the whole time, that there's ups and downs for us all.
Yeah. No, it's, I'm thinking of some of the movies I grew up on, that's Five Easy Pieces and a lot of movies from the 70s and a little later, they're Being There and All That Jazz and Last Detail, Harold and Maude. They all were able to touch on things that we all experience, and make light of it, but also really touch something inside you. And that to me is the big goal and really what I hope to keep doing if I can keep in the business and maybe get another one done. So that's that's always it's hard to pull off correctly, and then it's even harder to sell those type of stories. But to me, it's a worthy pursuit. I'm going to keep trying to do it.
Well, we all hope that you do, because you're right. What we like to watch. Can you stay in the business and have a significant effect and not be living in L.A.? Can you remain out on Whidbey Island and still have a good career?
It certainly does make it tougher. If I do a television show, I'll probably have to spend a lot more time down there. I have started writing originals again. I got away from them and did a lot of studio assignments, and I'm putting myself on as director of these. So I could. There's one that looks like we might have the financing for. So if I can get this movie shot and establish myself as a filmmaker and not just the screenwriting part of it, I think I have a better chance of staying out here on Whidbey more. Otherwise, I think I'll be down in L.A. a lot pitching for assignments. And they do like to have you close by when you're doing those. So I managed to get away with it for 10 years, but we'll see. The business has gotten a little tougher in those 10 years. There are less assignments and less movies being made by the studios anyway. So independent seems to be the way to go. So I'm going to give it another shot here for the coming year and see what happens, see if I can get a movie made.
Well, I know that you probably have a lot of support coming from Whidbey Island. It's a close-knit community. It's a small island. Everybody knows really everyone. And when something mm-hmm. big happens, like what happens to you, you become huge as a local celebrity. And I think Whidbey's been super proud of you. I know that they had you down at the Clyde, another magical place on Whidbey Island, an old movie theater. They did a Q&A. Well, what's it like Clyde to kind of become, you know, so popular amongst your neighbors?
Well, for me, it's kind of a split experience. I love that they responded to the film. The Clyde was a great sellout audience, and their response to it was as good as I've heard. On the other hand, I'm not really someone who likes publicity for myself and necessarily likes to be recognized. So my cover may have been blown. It was nice just to walk around as a normal person and interact with people in that way rather than reacting to you as some Hollywood entity. So it's a little mixed, but I enjoy it, and I really enjoy that. The way they responded to the film, and if they are proud to have the person who wrote that living here, that's great. But I like to just walk around, and as a writer, I like to be able to observe people rather than being observed. So I'm hoping that not too many people have seen my photo yet, so I can, you know. I could still sneak around and listen to their conversations and maybe gather a little thought for a scene or a character.
Well, it's a great place to people watch on, you know, certain uh-huh. places on Whidbey Island. There's a lot of great people and you can walk around and mm-hmm. you don't have to drive everywhere. You can kind of walk. What are some of your favorite places to go to, without giving away any of your secrets, where you might be people
okay.
watching? If somebody was coming to Whidbey for the first time, what would you want them to know and go?
Well, there was one big reason I moved to Whidbey, and that's I think Eby's Prairie area up near Coopville is one of the loveliest places on earth, and it's great to be so close to that and be able to visit. So I always take people who are visiting up there for a drive around, and they're always amazed. They didn't know there was such a place so close to Seattle with that kind of scenery and then a view looking out over towards Port Townsend. And, great place to take a walk. So I just love the small towns here too. Langley and Coopville are two favorites. So those are the big things. I love the lack of traffic and the easygoing atmosphere out here. So that all is conducive for me to get some writing done too. I have no excuses for not writing out here. It's quiet and laid back, and not too many of the things that come up in the big city that can distract you. So it's all on me now. So.
Well, I think that's why Whidbey does attract so many creative minds, is because you're very close to Seattle, really. But because of the ferry situation, it's only about a 30-minute ferry ride, it seems like you're 1,000 miles away. And so there's white deer, supposedly. I've never seen one. I've seen a picture of one. Have you seen the magical white deer on Whidbey Island?
I haven't seen the white deer. We have the white-tailed deer here, but I've heard of it, but haven't seen it yet. Yeah,
I know.
We have a lot of the normal average deer walking through our yard, and that's good enough for me.
there are a lot of deer around, but every time I've been over there, I've been looking for these white deer that supposedly, or some mythical thing on Whidbey Island. I've never seen one yet, but I've talked to people, and everybody seems to have heard of them, but I actually need to find a person who's actually seen one. Those people seem to be mythical, too, but somehow those white deer, that mystery keeps living.
Well, I live here, and I've never met anybody who's seen one yet either, so it might be a myth. I don't know. But, the kind of myth that keeps us looking out our windows and hopeful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Bob, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and share a little bit of your experience and your journey with us today. It was really just a pleasure to be able to talk with you, and I really want to keep up with everything that you are going to be doing in the future, because you write stories like I like to read, and not only me, but so many other people.
Well, that's great. It's been a pleasure here, too. I really appreciate it, Lori.
No problem. And I'm going on a road trip with my mom to Whidbey Island, and we're going to be there in a couple of weeks. It's one of my mom's favorite places, too. So I kind of have a love-hate relationship. It's like I want to tell people about it, but I'm one of those horrible people that, like, I want to know about it, but I don't want it to, like, I don't want to bring a million other people there and ruin it. But I want to be in that group that's able to come.
Well, just share it with the people you really, really like. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Bob, best of luck. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great guy, Bob Nelson, and I really really appreciate the time that he took to be able to come on and talk with us. And I will say, in all seriousness, Whidbey Island is a very magical place. And if you do get the time to visit Seattle area, take the time. It's like $7 to ride the ferry over to Whidbey Island. And once you leave, you may leave it physically, but you'll never be able to escape it emotionally. It'll touch your soul forever. If you can't get to Whidbey Island, I'm going to refer back to Daisy Prescott. She used to live on Whidbey Island. She now lives on the East Coast, and she writes these books that take place on Whidbey Island and kind of the surrounding islands as well. And one of them is Geoducks Are for Lovers, and that's the first book I started out with. And the next one's Ready to Fall. But they're really great books, and you really can taste the island living on Whidbey Island. So I would definitely recommend that to you. If you haven't seen Nebraska, you definitely, definitely want to see Nebraska, especially if you ever took a road trip with your family, if you've taken a road trip with your parents, and if you have those uncles that you remember from World War II that all used to get together, the brothers, and kind of sit around. It'll so many, many memories for you. We're going to play out to Sophia DeCini again, another Whidbey Island. There's so much creativity that goes on to track creative people. people on Whidbey Island. And Sophia, like I said, she's very young. She's like 17, but in her daytime, she's working at Mocotillo Coffee, which Daisy Prescott and I both absolutely love. I'm sure Bob does too. And by night, she's a singer. She's won a lot of awards, and she takes a ferry and her equipment over to Seattle and plays at night, and she plays all around Whidbey Island as well. We're going to play, what should we play? Let's play Dressed Up in White by Sophia Duchini.
These days I try to dress you up in white. It's a filter view of you that lets in light. And I was told it always turns out. So contrived. The sun comes in the sky, that's when my baby starts to fly. He sings like a bird and comes down sweet when high. The sun comes in the sky, that's when my baby starts to fly. He sings like a
Well, that's our show. We would like to thank our listeners, our guests, and of course our sponsor, Audible.com. We've included an easy one-click link to Audible.com where you can just go and browse and check out and see if catching up on your reading is right for you through an audiobook. The first book is free. Doesn't cost anything to check it out. So check it out. Get back with us. Let us know what you think. And be sure to also check out NorthwestPrime.com for this interview and other great interviews that we've had with numerous celebrities and other entertainers in the past. Thanks and have a great day.
This is Matthew Meadows, better known to some of you as Rango the Dog, and you're surfing the seas of mojo with Seattle Wave Radio. Catch the wave.